Welcome back to Money in America with Randall Turner. Today we have Christian Tharp. He is the certified market technician and an expert stock market coach who's helped thousands of beginners and advanced investors around the world to take control of their financial futures. Welcome aboard this morning.
Thanks for having me, Randy. I appreciate it.
Well, we're pretty excited because, I think I've said before, I've made all the mistakes in the world when it comes to investing in the stock market, so I guess it's time at my ripe old age of learning how to do it correctly. So, but if I'm walking into your class learning how to be a stock market investor, what is the first thing you're going to tell me to do?
Oh, wow. You know, the first thing, kind of what we focus when it comes to the Adam Mess Trading Group is I always say separate the company from the stock.
Meaning what? What's that mean?
Well, you know, what I mean is that, you know, when you put your money into the market, you're not putting it into the company, you're putting it into their stock. Okay, I mean, you don't make money if Apple, the company, does real well. You make money if their stock does real well. So the first thing I always recommend everyone to do is separate the two. And this is going to help you immensely because it takes the emotion out also. You know, it kind of allows it to not get attached to the company. I'm making money on the stock. So the first thing I always recommend is separate the two. Your money's in the stock. That's your money. You don't want to lose it. If you love the company, that's great. Go buy an iPad, but they're different, you know. So that's first. That's probably the biggest thing I always point out right in the beginning.
Okay, so are you really telling me that fundamentals are not important? It's all technical.
You know, I get that question a lot, and sometimes I don't make friends when I say yes. That's what I'm saying. We don't want to hear that.
Yeah, well, no, of course not. I'm the guy with the MBA, and that's what I was taught. It was all fundamentals. Yes.
Well, let me ask you this: wouldn't we agree that if we trusted everything we read, everything we knew, everything that was happening, at the end of 2008, beginning of 2009, the fundamentals of our economy, the fundamentals of the company, everything was just not good. You know, we got banks going under.
Right.
We got a $700 billion bailout. We needed $800 billion stimulus just to get our economy going. We're losing 700,000 jobs a month,
right.
January, February, March. Fundamentals were bad, right?
Right, right.
March 2009, the market starts one of its biggest one-year bull runs in history. You know, if I trusted the fundamentals and what they were telling me, I would not, you know, I wouldn't be able to take advantage of that. No different than in 2007. Everything was wonderful. Everything's going great. Economy's plugging away. We all in our McMansions. We've all got flat panel TVs in every room of the house. Everything's wonderful. Fundamentals are fine. That was the top of our market.
Okay,
so
well,
just one example.
But then I can use the same logic today, though. I think if you look at everything now, how can you justify the P.E. ratios? How can you justify a lot of this stuff right now in the market when you're going to have a government bond go boom here one of these days? You know, I don't know. I get lost as to how do I actually do this? You know, am I closing my eyes to the outside things and strictly looking at the technicals then? Is that what you're telling me? Just to solely focus on that?
I always say yes. But you don't have to. You know, what I always like to do is I always like to look, you know, when someone I'm coaching or I'm, you know, kind of showing their way around the market, I would say always start with the fundamentals. It's a great place to start.
Okay.
Maybe you like gold because gold's doing well. So let's go look at some gold stocks. You know, let's look at the companies. Maybe we can find some good companies. Or maybe you just pull up an Investor's Business Daily and you're reading about this company, that.
Right.
That's a great place to start and gives you the reason to now start looking at the market, looking at this particular company's stock. But then ultimately, once you decide to make your trading decision or your investment decision, you'd want to let the stock do the talking. You know,
okay.
You want to find those price points that kind of tell you, hey, this stock is breaking out or hey, this stock is breaking down. And if a stock is telling me it's breaking down, I don't care what I think the fundamentals are because, as I always like to tell everyone, the market does not care what I think, and it certainly doesn't care how I feel.
Right.
If that stock breaks down, it's telling me it's going lower, and I don't want to write it down. So I do put kind of, all the trump cards go with the technicals. Yes, I believe that.
Okay, well, let's start at the beginning. How do I buy? And then let's get down the road here. Tell me how to sell. But how do I buy whatever XYZ stock? How do I figure this very basic thing out?
Okay. For example, probably one of my best case studies I ever showed anyone that I was kind of demonstrating these exact points to was Whirlpool back in 2008 going into the beginning of 2009.
Okay.
Okay, when you looked at this particular stock, okay, once you got halfway through last year, okay, this stock had clearly had a problem getting up through the $50 resistance. We had went up, hit it, back down. Went up, hit it, back down. Went up, hit it again, came back down. When that stock came up to the $50 level again, in around June, July of 2009, it obviously broke through that $50 level. Now, you, me, the lay person, we can't go ask. There were 5 million shares traded that day. Okay, well over 2 and 3 times its average. Big money was moving into that stock, and you and I could never know why
right. The
money moved in. What we can know is that it did. All right, and if you looked at the fundamentals of Whirlpool, which nowadays we all have resources to good industries and good fundamentals
right.
or not, Whirlpool was at that time ranked in the bottom quarter of all companies in its industry, which was in the bottom third.
Well, that'd make me so run to the doors right there.
Exactly. But if I trusted the stock, right, now that stock, you know, is clear up north of $100. You know, the stock told me. So one of the things I encourage anyone that is looking for a longer-term perspective, or we'll call it an investor's perspective, I look for stocks breaking out. I look for stocks showing me clear signs of strength, like that Whirlpool example.
Okay, but how do I find that? I guess that's my first biggest hurdle. How do I actually find it? Do I start with sector groups, industry groups, or where do I look?
Well, I think some of the things that we're talking about in the way of fundamentals, it's a great place to start. I mean, I could look in an IBD. I could just pull up a Yahoo Finance or a MarketWatch or any site where this company is being talked about. Maybe,
okay.
For example, Coinstar today came out with some explosive little earnings, popped up. That could be my reason to look at the stock. And then I ask myself, do I see, you know, can I intelligently trade this stock? Does it tell me when to get in, and has it broken out, and things like that? So I think the fundamentals are a great place to start, and then you work your way into the stock itself.
Okay. All right, so I've got a stock, whatever, XYZ. Now what am I looking for it to rise? Is there a certain percentage I want it to gain before I bail on it, or tell me how I'll do this?
Absolutely. What I like to do is once a stock starts to go, if you know, two different perspectives I look at, a trader's perspective and let's call it a longer-term trader/investor's perspective, and we'll focus on that. When I see a stock breaking higher and it starts to kind of go on its nice little trend, what I encourage everyone to always do is use a stop loss. You know, protect yourself.
Okay.
Not only in case you're wrong about your investment, but also you start protecting your profits on the way up. Okay, and I'm a huge fan of letting those profits run.
What percentage do you use for your stop loss then?
Well, I actually don't use a percentage.
What do you use?
Well, what I tend to do is, once again, if I'm looking at a longer-term move, what I tend to look at, the definition of an uptrend, simply higher highs, higher lows. So if that stock's trending higher and it's working well for me, it's going to go through its ebb and flows. It's going to go up a little, back down a little, up a little, back down. It's going to form those higher highs, higher lows. It's going to form these little mini support areas. As my investment does that, you know, I raise my stop loss just a couple percent underneath that low. You know, so I am using a percentage based on the low, but it's not just a straight percentage on the stock. So if I see, for example, my stock break out through $40, run all the way up to 40 up, and then pull back a little bit and settle around $45, and then start to embark higher, well, now I might raise my stop loss up to, say, around $43.50, $44. Let it go on its next move. Then you raise it again. And what you're doing is you're giving yourself an unlimited upside while protecting the profits you have made.
Okay, see, now I was always taught that, and you can correct me, obviously, if I'm wrong, but the idea was to take like an 8% stop loss with a trailing stop, so when it went up to 46 bucks, you know, whatever the 8% loss is, when it's dropped down to 45, whatever, boom, it's gone. But you're telling me I ought to ride it by the dollar value as it goes up.
Yes, yes, especially if we get into a more volatile market. But one, I don't believe in trailing stops myself, okay? And I always like to use the phrase, trailing stops can't think. You
right.
and me can.
Right.
Okay. A trailing stop can't look at that low and place itself right underneath it for you. It can't let you kind of go up and cool off. It can't let you do those things. Okay. You can find yourself getting prematurely kicked out. All right. And now, as far as bigger numbers that I've heard 8%, I've heard 10%, I've even heard, you know, larger numbers than that. And what I always encourage everybody to think about is, you know, if I find this, as a technical analyst, you know, that's kind of what I'm looking at. If I see a stock that has a nice area of support, and let's call it, you know, $30. I don't need that stock to drop $2, $3, $5 to know, whoops, I guess this thing is going against me.
Right.
You know, typically, if this key area of support, remember, supply and demand, if there's no longer any demand there, you know, or an increase in supply where people are wanting out, you know, I don't want to ride this thing down, clear down to, you know, 30.
All right.
You know, or I think I said 30, maybe down to 25 before I say, whoops, now I want to get out. Typically, in my experience and in research with other traders, typically something in that, you know, 3, 4% area underneath a key level support will typically be where you want to be.
Okay. Now explain to me. I've got a stock that's riding up, doing that little jagged up and down kind of thing, but it's still going up over a period of a couple of months. And you can draw your little bars underneath and on top of that wave, and I can see that the trending between the high and lows on a daily or weekly basis is getting smaller and smaller, right? Generally, it tells me that I'm going to peak on that thing pretty soon, right?
Sure, absolutely.
But how do I know, I guess I'm trying to look for that ultimate answer. I've made all those mistakes watching that line get smaller and smaller, that range gets smaller and smaller, and then suddenly, boom, the whole puppy bops drops out, and I've lost way too much on it. How do I know when that top is really going to top? Was there a key thing to look at?
No, actually, I think that what we want to remember, you know, is, you know, I always encourage everybody, we don't know where the top is. Okay? No one knows where the top is. Now, I can make a lot of great educated guesses on any stock at any given time, I suppose, but I don't ever know.
Right.
You know, I would say no more than, you know, Adam Nash does, Jim Cramer, or Warren Buffett. You know, we don't know. That's why we kind of want to leave that upside potential going. If we run around selling our stocks all the time, we are conceding one of two things. Okay, either one, maybe we got close to the top and we only conceded a little bit of leftover profit, or two, we missed it completely and we left a whole bunch of profit on the table.
Right.
Now, if I manage a stop loss and I let that keep going as far as it wants, I only concede one of those, which is I will give back a little bit in the end, but I do not give back the home run. So, as an example, let's say I'm giving my stock, you know, it's now $2 or $3 higher or something than where my stop loss is. Okay, if it comes back down, I'm giving back $2 or $3 if I get kicked out. But what if it does not kick me out and instead it goes on a $10 run? I'm risking $2 or $3 to make potentially $10 or more, who knows? I'm risking one to make four, one to make five. That's a great situation to be in, not to mention you've protected profits. It's a win-win.
Okay. Wow, this is a lot to think about. Christian, I think we're about out of time.
Okay.
But would you like to come back and tell us some more about how to do this?
Absolutely, Randy. I love it.
All right. We'd love it, too. This has been Christian Tharp. He is the Chief Technical Analyst for the Adam Mesh Trading Group, and this is Money in America with Randall Turner.